Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to Ask the Pastor Now. We are so very glad to have you join us tonight. One thing we know in Houston is that the winds blow, the rains come, the floods rise, but God's people have a work to do and we go on. We continue to deal with the storms of life as now Cuba and Florida experience the next hurricane. We pray for those in both locations. They're going to need that prayer. Thank you so much for joining us, whatever time it might be for you. Please follow us on Blog Talk Radio by clicking Follow Us on the BTR screen and, of course, share the broadcast link with others. Now, without further delay, here is the pastor of Ask the Pastor Now, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you this evening?
Well, very fine, Jim. I thank you for that kind introduction and certainly join you in wanting to lift up in prayer our friends who are now beginning to experience yet another round of storms in the Houston area. We are in the recovery process. Hurricane Harvey, as most of you know, came through our area. Through most of South Texas, even parts of Louisiana, and it was quite devastating. But God's people are also quite resilient, and Texans, I believe, are just really a determined group that they will come back. And so we're praying for that, and we're putting feet to those prayers as well. Again, I want to remind people, you can go to a website called second.org. It's the website of Second Baptist Church in Houston. And you'll have the opportunity, if you'd like to support the recovery efforts, you can do so there. You may wonder, say, well, why that particular church? It's the only organization that I'm currently aware of. There may be others, but they're the one I'm aware of, that they have made the decision to absorb the overhead cost of what they are doing. And the funds that you are sending will go strictly to those who need the resources. And resources, you know, sometimes you may lock in on one item. Their particular focus is they are going out into the neighborhoods with volunteers, helping to actually clear out the damage, helping people get in into their homes and pulling out the material. For those of you who have been fortunate enough not to live through such an experience, first of all, give prayers to God and thank Him for that fact. Then secondly, let me just tell you, it is very difficult not to go into almost a state of shock or numbness when that happens. And so you really do need people who can step forward and walk with you in that process. Not only is it a matter of having an extra set of hands, in fact, quite a few hands, numbers I saw for that church just yesterday, is that they are already over 19,000 volunteers into the community, working and making a difference. Countless resources. One of the numbers I just remember off the top of my head was over 42,000 bottles of water going out. So, and they're sending out wheelbarrows. They're sending out, dehumidifiers, just all kinds of resources. And that, if you are giving funds and decide to make a donation, that's what it's going to. None of this comes to us. This is a different site altogether. But there are one that I know of that has integrity, and just wanted to encourage you, if that's something you've been looking for, a way to step up and help, that would be a good source. And so it is an amazing thing. In fact, I'm going to bounce back to Jim at this moment, because Jim has also been involved hands-on in going into the community and trying to help. Jim, could you describe, first of all, what you've been doing, and then also maybe explain some of the reactions by the people who are in the more damaged areas?
Well, I'll be happy to, Pastor. I hope I don't get teared up, because the devastation is just, you can't describe it. As we were pulling down one of the roads that leads into where I was dispatched, It was an apartment complex. I believe there were 1,600 units, and half of those, of course, first floor, and they were all wiped out. And we helped. I met an elderly lady, her son and his wife and his cousin. And as we worked on her home, trying to get things boxed up that could be salvaged, make a pile of those things that couldn't be saved, it was amazing how cheerful everybody was working. We knew she was struggling, and she had had a couple of days to, you know, to absorb this. But at her age, I could only imagine what it's like to just lose everything. And so lately, we had a great time. We got that all cleaned up, and they were so thankful. She, Pastor, was Jewish, of the Jewish faith. And mm-hmm. so we talked a little bit about that. I said, well, so was my mother. And by Jewish law, I'm Jewish. And so we had a connection. And makes me tearful, Pastor. I'm so sorry. Right. She was so appreciative. And her son was talking. He had heard about Second Baptist, and they were just so surprised, I guess would be the word, that he said, I don't know what we'd have done without you. And I'll never forget it. Here of late, I was even sweeping today. It's amazing. We have donation barrels all around the church, and so one of my jobs was to take a wheelbarrow and go to each donation barrel, put them in the wheelbarrow, and take it to the ladies that were arranging it so that when people needed supplies, and these are brooms and mops and big heavy plastic bags and diapers and clothes and toiletries. I mean, soap. I've never seen so much soap in one place. And when all of that was distributed, then here comes the people to pick them up and take them out. And we would take them out in wheelbarrows to their car. And it was a huge assembly line. I've never seen something so so perfectly organized. So, Pastor, I tell people, everybody that has asked about it, we are all wearing shirts that say Houston Proud, and Houston Strong. And I'm telling you, people would ask, oh, where did you? And so it gave us opportunities to talk about our efforts, and everybody said, thank you, God bless you, I'm glad you're doing that. So it's just amazing what has happened as a result of the storm.
And I thank you for that. And yes, it is an emotional thing, both to be a part of it and to see people's reactions. Again, for those who are not in this area, and you might be wondering, well, why are the news reporters still going on about it? You have to understand, damage of that level does not get cleared out in a week's time. This is something that will take months, if not years, to be completely finished off. Even now, the city is crippled when you try to get from point A to point B. For example, last week, I noticed even on Friday, we only had one road that could access the main highway. So everybody was bumper to bumper on that one road, and this will shock you, amazing calmness and understanding amongst people. I was stunned to realize that even somebody trying to pull into the road, traffic would just stop and let them get in. And any other time, I think they would have people upset, but it's like they're being so much more patient and understanding at this time especially. So that's marvelous. Today, that time, we've had other roads starting to open up. We still have long sections of the city that are simply still underwater, highways that are still underwater. And so you cannot easily move about the city. People are trying to get back to work and trying to do restoration. And at this point, it's almost mm-hmm. gridlock when you try to go, as I say, from point A to point B. Simple example, last Friday I had to make a short run, which should have been about 30 minutes away. And 3 hours later, I got back. I've talked to people last 3 days that were trying to come up and do some volunteer efforts. And today, even I had somebody call me and said they simply had to turn back again. They tried for 3 days to get there, and for 3 days they were tied up in traffic until it was just exhaustion and they had to double back. So it's like anybody who gets somewhere, they suddenly realize they need to add an extra hour or two to a trip, even a trip that might normally be 15, 20 minutes long. And so that's why you're hearing it being talked about, because of the sheer enormity of the situation. Having said that, here it is, just barely a week or two later, and we have a storm called Irma that's coming in, and it is already gone over Cuba. It is moving on a course now for the Turks and Caicos through the Bahamas at a level Category 5. The watches have already been issued for parts of Florida. Hurricane warnings have been issued for portions of the Bahamas and Cuba. So they're still experiencing these effects. Now, Georgia and the Carolinas could easily be struck early next week. The Florida Peninsula is in a dangerous position. We honestly don't know which path this will take. There's a lot of projections. They're fairly certain. But the truth of the matter is you just don't know how those things work out. So you have to be safe. If you are listening to the broadcast and you are in that area, I strongly encourage you to prepare for the worst-case scenario. It may not happen. You may be fine, and that is our prayer. But I would rather have you setting some things back and say, well, we'll have them in case another storm comes, or we'll have them in case it's just a bad weather and I don't feel like going out today. We've got those reserves. I'd rather you have that than you be in a bind and not be able to do something. Likewise, if you are in an area that has been notified that you feel like you need to evacuate for safety's sake, I understand that. But please don't just jump in your car and go. It sounds so simple, but again, in such situations, some people simply start to freeze up because it's a very traumatic event. Plan now if you haven't already. I would have preferred you to have already planned. But know where you're going if you're going to get in your car. I believe it's Highway 95 that's already pretty well saturated there in Florida. So we need to make plans for such events, especially if you live in such areas. But if you don't, just realize wherever you live, you deal with some sort of climate issue. And you need to be prepared for that issue, not as it's happening, but in advance of that. Like we've said before on a recent broadcast, you know, it was not raining and it was not flooding when Noah built the ark, moved the animals in, and stocked things up. And so realize we have to prepare. That's one of the things we draw from, God-given wisdom. So what some people call common sense, I call just trusting God and looking to Him for making the correct choices. And so by all means, do that. Also, one last item I want to bring up is the fact that you may recall just about a year ago, we were blessed to interview a gentleman that goes by the nickname Jarhead Six, a Marine who has served his country valiantly on multiple deployments and now retired and on a medical retirement from the injury sustained, working now, raising a family, just doing a great job, really proud of him, well known on YouTube as on a channel by that same name. Well, he and his family are located in Florida, and was able to pray with him today and heard a little bit of his broadcast just before our going on air. And so here's a man who has all that on him right now, you know, preparing, making sure his family's safe, his home is safe. And what is he doing? He's made time to roll out some information to people through his channel on hurricane preparedness and what you need to be doing and what you need to be looking for. So I can heartily encourage you later to check into that. It'll be listed up by then. And so there are resources, and he's, you know, gone through one hurricane already. He's at that location right now facing another one. So he's giving very practical information. And so realize that there is good information out there. There's also bad information. Don't listen to the bad information. Don't listen to the people who are operating in panic mode. Rely on people who are telling you solid, sound information. That's the most important thing you can do. And then make the intelligent choice after you have prayed about it, reached your decision, then follow it through with wisdom. So we are praying and seeking and desiring for our listeners' safety, for our nation to grow stronger, and to draw closer together each and every day. And so the best way for those within the range of our voice, within our country, throughout the world, because we are blessed to have many international listeners at this point, our heart's desire is for all of us to draw closer to God, to know Him as both Savior and Lord over our lives, and look for those continuing opportunities where we can serve Him, praise Him, and see others coming to know Him as Savior and Lord. So, Jim, why don't you start us off, as we've said so many times, the best way, the right way, by opening us in prayer?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we offer a prayer of thanksgiving and ask you for healing, protection, recovery for our listeners, especially those impacted by the storms. Lord, we have heard it said that our extremity is God's opportunity. We see, Father, that opportunity manifest itself in selflessness, sacrifice, charity, and godly love for mankind. Thank you, Lord, that you keep your promises, your covenants, that you are faithful, especially when we are undeserving. We have been given an opportunity to trust you. We are grateful that you are the author and finisher of our faith. Would you please superintend this program and give, I pray, Dr. Lyons, your words to proclaim. As this pastor would say, it's not what I say, but what God's Word says that changes lives for eternity. It's in the name that's above all names, the name of our Lord, our Messiah, our Christ, and your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that, Jim. I really do appreciate it. I think normally what I do about this point is ask you if you have some questions for us. We've been dealing with questions the last couple of weeks, and since one of us is long-winded, Jim, I'm not going to name names, especially since it's probably me. Rather than doing that, I'd like to just sort of recap the last two questions we dealt with last week, because I think that they have a lot of merit. I'm glad they were asked. And I won't re-answer the question per se, but I will just briefly go over it, because we did go in depth last week. But I think they have a lot of merit, mm-hmm. considering what we're going through right now, what Florida's about to go through, possibly the Carolinas. One of the questions we had as we were wrapping up was the question, is God judging people when they have a loss and storm? And, I think that is a dangerous train of thought to go down. I mentioned the passage where the scripture says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto the wise man that built his house upon the rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And the scripture then goes on and makes the contrast of a foolish person who did not do that, builds his house on the sand. The rains come, the floods come, the winds come, and great was the loss. And God in His Word there goes on to make the contrast between the people who were ill-prepared versus those who were prepared. And the contrast was those who respond to God's teaching and versus those who do not. And all of that I'm saying to help people realize that, I really don't see when a storm comes in that it is necessarily a judgment. Now, I think it can be an incredible wake-up call. I think just about anything that happens in our lives, we have the opportunity to give God the credit for it. Unfortunately, if something bad happens, most people give God the credit and blame Him, rather than realizing God can take this moment and use it in my life, and I can become stronger, more confident, and even a greater witness. So I think if you look at it from the standpoint of saying, well, this storm is coming, so is God beating me up because of the way I've lived? Well, first of all, if you even have that concern, you have a concern to deal with, is how are you living? If you immediately assume that there's something in your life that God's got a reason to come after you with, then deal with that, all right, first of all. Secondly, I don't think God came out there and tried to destroy your property or inconvenience you or shut you down because of that. I think God can use that in your life as a wake-up call. And that's what I say, deal with it. Take it to God. Ask for forgiveness. Change what you're doing, that on your first instinct when the storm, you heard the storm was coming your way, you said, well, that's why it's happening. Well, then deal with that. If you know in that moment something's wrong, then deal with it. Ask God forgiveness. Change what you're doing. If it goes beyond that, it's even further than that, since you've never even known the Lord as Savior. You've just heard Him speak. You know, there was, again, I love songs that have a strength or a little phrase that really jumps off the page for me. Again, there was a group, Van Zant and Van Zant, they did a song back in the late 70s that He's more than just a swear word, more than just an I don't care word. Yeah, He's the precious Son of God. And I hear people who use God's name in vain, and that's the way they operate, and they don't understand the danger of what they're dealing with in rejecting. They think it's lighthearted, it's foolish. Foolish is what it is, because He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He can totally change your life. So back to the question, is God judging people when they have a loss in a storm? You know, sometimes this thing comes in your life, and what it really boils down to is this: how will I let God use it in my life? If it's a wake-up call, then let it be something very positive. Respond by turning your life around and coming to Christ. If, in contrast, you are a believer, you are doing everything right, just like what happened with Job, well, then understand this. And by the way, for those not biblical based in there, Job was a person from the Old Testament who had lived a good life, honored God, and Satan went after him and attacked and had a lot of difficulty in his life, suddenly come dramatic things. And yet, he still honored God. And so, God can use that moment, which He did in Job's life, and you find later in his life it was greater than the beginning of his life. So, my point being, if you're the righteous person and the same bad stuff comes your way, well, guess what? God can still use the moments. People you've been witnessing to for years that just didn't believe in the faith that you proclaim are going to see how you respond to that storm, and things can turn around completely in a powerful way. So, Jim, before I move on to the other one we mentioned last week, is there something from this that you wanted to share specifically?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, if somebody's feeling like, you know, God might be dealing with them and maybe He's done this to them, I think to remind them that God does what's best, not better, mm-hmm. what's best for us. And I think He is, He knows how much pressure, not only does He know how much pressure to bring to bear, but He knows where to apply it. which is pretty scary, I guess. But I remember what Dr. Ed Young at Second Baptist said one time. He says you should confess your sin, and he says if you want to know what sins should you confess, he says when you begin to confess, just the first thing that comes to mind will be exactly what. And it's interesting because it is, you know exactly what you should confess. And so I think, it may not be God's full intention, but everything I believe that happens, He will do. He'll move heaven and earth to get us to accept the free gift of salvation. And it's just got to break His heart when we keep saying, no, maybe later, you know, when I get a chance, when I get further along, you know, we've heard all of those excuses, but I think God is dealing with people. It's not every once in a while. It's not when a storm comes in necessarily, isn't it, Pastor? It's all the time.
Absolutely.
He is on ready. He's waiting. And He's, as Jesus said, I knock at the door. So,
yeah. I think
that's very interesting.
I think it's important to realize that, you know, bad weather, storms, troubles, they come to us whether we're good or bad, whether we're saved or lost. The real question is, will we allow it to be something that allows us to draw closer to God and also to help others in the process. I think that's very, very important to understand. You know, something as basic and painful as a loss of a loved one. Just prior to the broadcast, Jim got word about somebody he knew that had experienced a death in the family.
Yes.
And these things happen. That does not mean that God failed. It doesn't mean that the world has drawn to an end. In your world, in that moment, that is precisely how it feels. But the reality is that God can take that moment and do an incredible healing in your life. And there are blessings all about you to be seen, to be understood, even in the moments you can't see them. So let the healing take place. Don't camp in that spot of pain. And that's a tendency that any of us are prey to. Instead, you want to pray to the God that can give you victory and pull you through there and not leave you there. And so we really do make that choice. That really is within our power to camp out there or move on. You're doing your loved one no disservice or discredit if you move forward. In fact, you're honoring the positive impact that they had in your life. You're saying, I can value what I've learned from them, the testimony they had, and move forward. And I choose to trust God even through this darkness. So that's a very powerful way of looking at it, I do believe. You know, the other question that came up just prior to our end. Yes, Jim, are you saying something?
I was just going to say, does he honor that trust, Pastor? If we step out and trust him, does he honor that?
Absolutely. You know, he knows his children. You know, I've always compared it to the situation. And Jim, you've had children, and you understand this concept. We usually equate it with women. To be honest with you, I think that's sexist. I think parents have this insight. All right, you are at a shopping area, or you are at maybe an event, or perhaps you're at your church, you're going by the nursery, and there's, you know, an enormous number of children, okay? I have a short patient level with children, so they all seem like an enormous level of children to me. But you're going through there, and I'm hearing all these voices crying out, and all these children making sounds of a variety of nature. And one of them cries out, Mom or Dad. And your ears will perk up for the simple reason that was your child. And for me, who didn't have a child in that group, I'm looking over like, are you sure? Can you? I mean, there's so many voices. There's so many of them. No, you heard your child. You know that voice. That's the way God operates. He has all of creation that he's watching over. And guess what? When you call out to him, he hears your voice. He responds. Whether that's dispatching angels or whether that is thundering out of the heavens and coming to us, whatever it takes, God answers our prayers. Make no mistake about it. I say that with total confidence. You know, and you say, well, sometimes I wonder why I have to wait. Well, sometimes God's answer for us has got people attached to him, and a lot of times he uses people. And so, you know, he's allowing this person that he's going to use to be part of the healing process or the blessing process or the restoration process. Well, what if that person just doesn't want to answer? What if that person is being stubborn? They're not where they need to be, emotionally, spiritually, or even physically, perhaps. Well, God will be patient, and you're waiting, and you're thinking God's not answering. No, God is answering, but his patience isn't going to go on forever, because remember, you're his child. He will take care of you. One person is first in line to get the blessing of helping you and working in your life. If they aren't ready to receive that blessing, their trust is too weak, God will raise up somebody else. And it's funny, usually the somebody else's are the ones that totally shock you. You know, I've almost gotten to where I think I can spot the somebody else's, because they're the ones that amaze me the most, and God just does incredible things with them. I have had some pretty devastating things happen in my life. I've always been amazed that, like, I start off with this list of people that I just know I can count on them, and I can't. And that's pretty devastating right there, because these are the people you trusted the most.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like God brings these people out of the woodwork you never thought would be there. And suddenly, they're there. They're going the extra mile. And, you know, I think, like Jim related earlier, in the floodwaters, you've got people coming in that you never thought, like, why would they come and help me? You know, it's God's hand through them suddenly stepping into your living room and helping you get things cleaned up and refreshed and ready to go back to living again. God does amazing things that way. So, yes, very definitely, He answers your prayers. He hears you, and He responds. No question about it. You know, the other, in fact, it was the last question I think we touched on last week, just to recap. This is where somebody went from asking a question all the way over to meddling. Should old people coast and let young people take the lead? And I didn't want you to feel bad about that, Jim, being an old person.
Thank you.
No problem, really. You know, it's bizarre, you know, and I mentioned two particular passages. The second one I'll jump to because it's got a little phrase I like in there. Psalm 92, 14 and 15. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. And so, yes, even in old age, God is still going to use you. And for those who are not quite sure how to take that part of the phrase, they shall be fat and flourishing. Fat, coming from the Hebrew word, meaning vigorous. So, not fat in the way we use it today, but fat in the sense of energetic and blessed and just an amazing thing. So, first of all, you know, there's a concept in Christian service I really don't like. I hear people talking about, well, I'm retiring. No. How do you retire? Think about that. If you're a blacksmith and you retired, I can understand that. If you're an accountant, retired, I can understand that. If you're, you know, a corporate exec and you decide to retire, or, you know, you sell used cars for a living and you decide to retire, I can understand all that. But how do you retire from serving God? Why would you ever want to do that? You know, even if you leave your secular job, you don't stop serving God. And if you're in full-time Christian service, don't become part-time, because there's no such thing as a part-time Christian. You're either saved or you're not saved. And so I don't go for that whole concept to begin with. But now, should old people coast? Well, look, I think this whole storm thing is a good example of that, you know, in this way. People who are still physically fully capable are out there doing some incredible things right now. But I also know there are some people who can't do that physically for a prolonged period. And each of us physically have to define what becomes prolonged. And so I even found there are some folks in that category that are either calling people by phone and following up with them, they're writing notes of encouragement, getting the word out to them, or they're simply coming together and spending time in groups praying for these people and praying for those who are physically able to go out. Sometimes the lead is not what we think the lead is. Sometimes the lead is not, you know, everybody come on, follow me, we're going to go into this neighborhood. Sometimes there's another type of leadership that's taking place, and that is the planning, that is the development, that is the teams of people praying and supporting. There is a variety of ways to serve. Now, I do think that you are foolish if you don't benefit from experience. And like it or not, experience comes from one place, and that's living through something, and that takes time. There are people that at the end of this storm recovery will be experts on going through a storm recovery. They will know the things that are really good, and they'll also know the things, I don't want to do that next time. All right? So gain with time wisdom. Don't just gain time. If all you accomplish is getting older, you've missed out. Gain wisdom as you grow older, and that comes from God, and it comes from going through some stuff. Young people, be patient and serve and learn and grow into the leadership position that God can use you in. Sometimes people are young when they begin leadership roles. Timothy had learned from Paul, but was a young man as he began ministry. And there are lots of young pastors, there are a lot of young leaders. And it happens. But make sure that if you accept a role of leadership at any age, that you don't do it in your own strength, but you rely on God. Great concept of this can be found in Psalm 71. We mentioned this last week. I'm going to ask Jim to read that and share his thoughts on it before we move on. That's Psalm 71, verses 17 and 18. Jim?
O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have shewed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. It's amazing, thinking about the next generation, and here you just said it, don't do it in your own strength. Here he is saying, O God, forsake me not until I have shewed thy strength, not my strength, thy strength unto this generation. Wow, very powerful.
Absolutely true. I totally agree, and I think the scripture is very clear on that. So, you know, you don't retire per se. You spend your time helping others to grow stronger, to learn the lessons, and you allow those that do have that strength to begin moving into those positions and taking increased levels of leadership. So there's a transition that does take place, but by the same token, you know, there is strength and value in the entire range of ages. Now, Jim, that sort of recaps what we had last week, but I think you still have some questions for us. What you got?
Well, Pastor, I was just curious. You know, when we're praying, and haven't you taught us that God, through Jesus Christ, takes our little feeble prayer and reinforces it? This is just a side question, I mm-hmm. thought. Doesn't he reinforce it and arrange it in a way that is, again, it's best, not better? Isn't that true?
If I'm understanding your question, I would totally agree. I think what I'm hearing is you're suggesting that the things we're trying to accomplish, the things we would like to accomplish, that God can take those things, those desires of our heart, and work them in a better way. Is that what you're asking?
Right.
Yes, I think that's very true.
Yeah, does God really answer our prayers, and does Jesus intercede on our behalf to make that prayer even more effective? That's a better way to say it.
But I liked where you were heading a moment ago, and we'll touch on both aspects of it. But, you know, consider this. All right, you had a father, and I presume you had a good relationship with your father. You probably had a good idea of what the relationship or resources he had was, although, you know, typically as children we come to our parents and, you know, the sky's the limit of what we ask them to do. And, you know,
right.
It's entirely possible that maybe your dad, the sky is the limit. It just was a cloudy day and the sky didn't go up that high. By the same token, you know, I would imagine that Donald Trump's kids probably have a little higher expectation. You know, I recall on one occasion some reporter was making the comparison about the incomes that his various children had. And I thought it was interesting that the one of the younger daughters or something had an income of $1 million. And it was clarified that she had that because she was still young and she needed time to grow and mature more. And I thought, okay, in that world, you know, that's a starting point. Okay, I understand that. You know, in my world, no. You know, be a little lower than that. And
be patient.
Be patient. You know.
Be patient, honey. It's only $1 million now.
Yes, but as you show yourself responsible, we can go up. You know, and you know, on the one hand, it was somewhat humorous. On the other hand, there was wisdom because the other children had shown themselves responsible. They were older, mature. They were doing great things, great mm-hmm. accomplishments. So they had shown themselves worthy of the resources they had. And this other one shows every potential in the world to do exactly the same thing. And so, you know, that's a big jump for us. And we think that's maybe on the outrageous side. It's not in his world because of what he's been able to accomplish. Now, I said that for this reason. Some of us, when we pray and we ask God about something, you know, we pray tiny. And we forget we've got this, you know, we sing songs that he's a great, big, beautiful God. He's a great, big, wonderful God. And then we pray like he's penniless. You know, just help me get through. You know, that's all we're asking for. Just get me through this. When it's nothing wrong in saying, God, I want to get this through in a way that honors you. You know what can be done here. I don't. Bring on the best, God, so that you'll get the best glory of it. That's not name it and claim it stuff. That's just the fact that God is bigger than me. He's got greater resources than me. And if I'm thinking small, then small's about all he's obligated to give me, because that's all I ask for. I want to ask questions like, God, here's my situation. Help me have the resources or the wisdom, or you step in and do what you got to do, so at the end of the day, you get the glory out of it. And, you know, he can do that in a way that more than meets your needs abundantly in a wonderful way. You know, a couple of scriptures, Isaiah 65:24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. So God knows the thoughts, desires of your heart. Before you've uttered the words, he's starting to crank the resources up. He's starting to put the angels in position, moving his saints into position where they can help you best in your situation. Much in the same way that when our hurricane began coming towards Texas, the request went out from the governor's office and the presidency responded and the federal resource began to shift and to be in standby mode, so as the storm cleared, things could roll and healing could begin. And much the same way, but on a much bigger scale, you call out to God and he's ready to answer. He's answering you while you're speaking. Say, Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now, there's a critical part of this when it comes to praying. Jim, would you share Matthew 21:22, and as you read it, think about it, and then share on your heart, what do you say the scripture is really telling us there?
Well, that happens to be one of my scriptures that I've memorized, and I recite this every morning. And all things, this is Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, here's the hard part, believing ye shall receive. Every time, Pastor, I see that word believing, it makes me, I guess, take a pulse.
Mm-hmm.
Do I really believe this scripture? And, you know, there's another scripture that I read. It's in the third chapter of 1 John that's along these same lines. Because, Pastor, in case you didn't know, I go through and get all the ones that will help me. And here's the third chapter of 1 John 22 and 23, and I think this goes along the same lines. And whatsoever we ask, now, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because, here it is, here's the tough part, we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So every time I'm thinking, well, I hadn't gotten that prayer answered yet, I wonder if it's because I haven't kept commandments and I haven't done things that are pleasing, and it makes me recall the day before or the days before and say, oh, that's where I stumbled, that's where I messed up. And then in 23, he goes on, and this is his commandment. Now he's explaining, keep his commandments, he's explaining, and this is his commandment, that we should, there's the word again, believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Wow. So those are kind of compound answers and questions, aren't they, Pastor?
They really are. You know, I think the great thing to think, one of the reasons I like that verse 22 from Matthew, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall believe, or receive rather. You know, what pops in my head every time I see that verse, do you remember the Christmas movie A Miracle on 34th Street?
I do.
Okay. For those of you not familiar with it, wonderful little story, a Christmassy kind of attitude, and there's this little girl there, and she has been taught to be very practical, and you don't believe in Santa and all of this. Meanwhile, this man comes into the family's life, and he's definitely, he's definitely a Christmas person. He likes Santa and all this kind of stuff. And so he's telling her to trust for the changes that are going to come in the family's life. And she's sitting there with this great little line, looking very down, like, and disgusted. And she keeps saying, I believe, it's silly, but I believe. And that's what I think of when I see this verse, because I've known people who say they are Christians, who say they believe in prayer, and, you know, they'll pray up a storm with the congregation, and then their car breaks down, and they're desperately trying to get an answer, and you ask, have they prayed, and they look at you, is that all you're going to do for me? Let me get this right. All I'm going to do is suggest that you contact the God of creation to help you with what to him is going to be a small issue. Certainly God can help you. And God can move people into position, whether it's a honest and fair mechanic or people who want to help you or get you in the right spot or, you know, whatever your need is, you also pray. You know, a great line, you pray like it's all on God and then you work like it's all on you. Say, what you don't do when we pray believing, the one thing we're not doing is, I'm asking God. It's silly, but I'm asking God. No, you're asking God because you believe that God is going to do this, and you're trusting him to do this. Now, the wonderful thing about this, and one of the things I encourage people to do, is to keep a journal. And, you know, I don't do it as consistently as I would like, but there are some things that I write down and I retain. One of the things I try to get down, and I encourage others to do, is get down the answers to your prayers. And also put down how he answered. Because invariably, we don't do a great job. You see, we always underestimate God. You know, it's like, you know, you pray for transportation, and you're thinking, can I have the bus fare? Meanwhile, God is arranging a driver and a vehicle for you to, you know, give you a path to where you don't even have to worry about it. You can sit there and read your book and drink coffee on the way in, if that's what he wants, if that's what will happen to better his plan in your life and in others. So, you know, I don't say that you have to have a Lexus, but I do say that you have to be prepared for what God is going to do. Don't tie the hands of God by saying, all I'm looking for is bus fare, if God has something else in mind. If you've been displaced because of the storm and you're having to find a new place to live, ask God to provide the place that he wants you to have. Don't sit in there desperately trying to find, you know, the trashiest place in the worst neighborhood because you think that's all I've got right now. Think about it in terms of, where does God want me to be? Because it may shock you. Start asking questions about, you know, what does it cost to live here? What will I be saving in transportation if I'm a little closer to wherever the destination is? You start asking those questions and you start taking those things to God and asking for wisdom, you will be amazed at what God can do. Live within your means, but realize that God can work on your means. Realize that God can take you to opportunities you didn't even know was out there. You know, I've been surprised sometimes of what, you know, I didn't think was possible, only to find out it is possible once I took it to God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to be prepared to do. Does God really answer people's prayers? I can tell you, I've seen it in other people's lives. I've seen it in my own life. You know, I was blessed to have a mother who believed in God and believed in prayer. And I saw her life. I saw what God was able to do through her life. And I also know that every morning she started off in his word and in prayer before she took on the challenge of facing yet another day. How she did it, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing, it was a good model for me to try to emulate and to walk with, and I'm thankful for that. And Jim, you have any other comments on this before we move on?
Oh, thank you, Pastor, for that opportunity, because I wanted to give, by way of background, a little bit about, you remember the young boy that was in the King James, he was called a lunatic. It's verse 15 of Matthew 17. It says, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And this is the only part of the verse that I save to read every day, but I think it's so appropriate. Matthew 17:20. And Jesus said unto them, why couldn't we depart? Okay, because Jesus said unto them, because of your, there it is again, unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, that makes me feel a little better, because there are times it's just a little bit of faith. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. I read that every morning. I sometimes don't go back over in my mind about the lunatic and the disciples trying to cast out the devil, but they didn't have enough faith. And so that would be my parting remark about this subject. I think this is so important that we have a different posture, be like kids, just like the illustration you said about this miracle on 34th Street.
Right.
The kid, the wonderment.
And it's so very true. And, you know, keeping that list, that track of how God answered. So not only can you see how much better he did than you had asked, but also to see, look, he's got a reputation for working in my life. You know, otherwise, we only remember the last thing that seemed bad, as opposed to this list of things that God has gotten, and we could see. You know, I really think God answers everything in our lives, but we don't always see it because we don't always look. We're moving on to that next thing too quickly. And sometimes what happens, and I think this is where you find really wise Christians, it's when they're able to look over their shoulder and see where God brought them. Look at those things that seemed painful, and we even wondered, why did I go through that? You know, and then you suddenly realize, well, you know, if I hadn't gone through that, I would not have learned what God could do for me. I would not have learned the value of getting into his word, or risking talking to Christians, other Christians, whereas before maybe I was becoming very introverted. So there are things we learn and moves us into places. You know, it's funny, you know, I always hear about the missionary that winds up in some foreign land, and he says, well, you know, when he was preparing, he used to always pray, you know, anywhere but there, and there they wind up. And I always sort of joked and laughed about that. My roommates at college, we joked about it and prayed rather bizarre things, just thinking, like, you know, whatever you do, don't send us to some tropical island in Hawaii, because who'd want to be there? You know, with the idea, okay, then God will send us there, you know. Well, first of all, you can't set God up like that. It just doesn't work. But you know what's funny? The one place I honestly never wanted to go to was Texas. So, you know, somehow God woke me up and sent me to heaven training, or as we call it, Texas, you know. So those of you didn't realize, one of the frustrations for a Texan is you wake up, you never know whether you're in heaven or you're still in Texas. It's pretty close. But
right, very confusing.
Yeah, I think we've now learned that Texas is damper, than heaven. That's the difference. You know, it's got more water and moisture here. But no, so, you know, for me, for whatever reason, I didn't want to come here. I got here, and boy, you couldn't pry me away. This is a wonderful place. And I think the real key to it is wherever God plants your feet and wants to use you, you're going to quickly fall in love with it. Maybe not initially, but you're going to fall in love with it. You're going to realize, now that's a special place, because it's the place where God is using me. And that, to me, is a wonderful way to look at life, to realize that it may be difficult, there's going to be hard times, there'll be good times, but all the time, God is faithful. All the time, we can trust him. It may not always look like it. It may look like there's a hurricane coming your way. But guess what? God is still God. He'll take you through the storms. He'll provide for you. By the way, it's still up to us to pick it up off the shelf and do the checkout. So, you know, just don't sit at home saying, well, he's going to put it in the kitchen. I'm going to go there and be miraculously surprised. No, if he gave you a backbone and he gave you the ability to work, then get out, work, and do these things. But also realize that he will guide you. He will give you wisdom. He's the one that gave you the health to start with. So be thankful for whatever we have and realizing that God is in it and just wants to use it through you and bless you and encourage you. You remember, he's the one that when you first really encountered him, his earliest words to us was, he so loves us that he gave his son for us. You really can't top that one. Jim, if a person doesn't know Christ, what could they do?
Well, Pastor, on our website, it's askthepastornow.com, you'll find this. This tells you how to be saved, and it's interesting because it's not complex. That's what stumbles people sometimes. They think, wait a minute, is that all I have to do? It's that easy? Well, we know that it's easy perhaps for us, but it wasn't easy for Jesus Christ. And it's simple. When you finally listen and God gets your attention and the Holy Spirit moves in your heart and you realize, I want what they're talking about. There is got to be more to life than what I'm experiencing. When all of those burdens finally get the best of you and you look up, here's where we would direct you. It's in the book of Romans. It's chapter 10, verse 9. Listen to this closely and see if you don't agree. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, you're going to step out in faith. God is, like we said earlier, is going to honor that faith by this peace that'll come over you. You won't be able to explain it. I've never been able to explain it. Never heard a good explanation for it. But that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe, Pastor, there's that word again. I think I'm going to go through next time and start circling believe in my Bible. Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, this is the next verse, for with the heart man believeth, there's the word again, unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you can just get on your knees, say, God, I have sinned against you, I want eternal life. And I understand that if I confess Jesus is my Lord, and I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead, and I don't have to fear death anymore, there's life after this life, how wonderful is that? You'll find that on our website. And Pastor, if you don't mind, I would like them to send us just a little note. Ask at askthepastornow.com. You can say, I got saved tonight. We would love to know that you got saved tonight. So that's Romans chapter 10, verse 9, verse 10, and it's on our website, askthepastornow.com. Pastor?
That's marvelous. I do appreciate that. One other thing before I let you go, Jim, what is the next question we have?
The next question we have is, how do you find the will of God?
Okay. How do you find the will of God? We are not going to talk about it tonight, but you join us next week, and we will answer that question for you. So thank you for being with us tonight. Do keep in prayer our good folks in Florida and moving up the coast that they will be safe through the storm and feel the very presence of God as they do so. Pray for those who are going through the healing now. And thank you so much for being with us this week. And please join us next week to find out how do you find the will of God. Good night, Jim.
Thank you, Pastor, for teaching us. Good night.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.